here is just to facilitate a very short process of electing the acting chairperson. Honorable, our chairperson is not in today. She's been booked off for the entire week. So my role is to appoint the acting chairperson. So I would like to call upon nominations for the acting chairperson of the day. Mr. Makakuna?
Thank you, Secretary. I want to nominate Pam Tshwete to serve as an acting chairperson for this meeting.
Do you have any seconders? Honorable Ngobeni?
Thank you, Chair. Seconded.
Okay. Are there any other further nominations? No, which means that Honorable Tshwete has been appointed unopposed. So I'll call you to come and take a seat. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I do document to get another one. I need one to open the microphone to copy. Actually, that probably changed the one for you, document.
Until the MP is in.
Good morning, Roy Mula, Minority Fund, member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Peter Khanyao. I'm also a member of this committee.
Salmonan Ngufelelo Wagamakakula from the ANC, member of the committee. Good morning, my name is Yaku Mankis, I'm from the AGSA. Good morning, honourable member. My name is Mr. Tongo, I'm from the Auditor General. I'm responsible for the Audit of Social Development
Good morning, Pam Bini from PMG.
Good morning, Chair. It's Miriam Huyen from AFRICOM.
Morning, everyone. My name is Vilgas Masuteka from the Auditor General's Parliamentary Office.
Well, I think we need to set up the rules with that of the having two people from the Auditor General's Office from the we'll give them a chance to present, and then after that, we'll then release you after the question, so that we carry on with our program. I would like to welcome you and everyone in this committee. We're supposed to start at 9 o'clock to this program, but unfortunately, the message on the SMSs was saying lengthy. I think there was a mistake. I would like to apologize to Honorable Waters. He came here early, as early as 9 o'clock, and those that came early, I would like to apologize to them. I will now give the office of the AG to present. It looks like we are going to look at our documents, like this one. There is nothing on the screen. We will use our documents. I would like to hand over to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. As I said in my introduction, my name is Musa Shongwa. I'm responsible for the audit of social development, among other audits that I do. On my right is Yako Mingis, who is responsible specifically for the audit of social development portfolio. Maybe if the Honorable Chair can give us an indication of how much time you've got, that would help. So if we...
I think we're supposed to leave at 1:00 But this is very important. We should not give you more than, I mean, feel free, give us. This is the gist of our work, the financial. So how much do you think you'll take? How much do you want?
Okay, I think between 30 and 30 minutes and 1 hour.
Depresently. Okay, no, it's fine. Feel free. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. This briefing is about the audit outcomes for the portfolio of social development, which we audit. There are two briefing documents that we are going to be talking from. The big one, and then this other one, but we don't start with this main document.
You can have that one. You don't have that one.
We go to paragraph 2. I think it's on page 2 of this document. You see that the portfolio that you are referring to, social development portfolio, includes the department itself. It includes SALSA, that is South African Social Security Agency. It includes the National Development Agency, NDA. And then it includes the four funds, the social relief, state president, refugee relief, and disaster relief fund. So those are the entities that make up this portfolio, social development portfolio. And this document talks about the results of all of them, the audit outcomes of all of them. If you look again on the same page, page 2 at the top, you see that we have listed the audit outcomes for the 4 years, that is year ended 8-09, year ended 9-10, year ended 10-11, and the year ended 11-12, which is just the recent audit that we have just completed for this past year. And you see that we have used the colors to try to indicate what is the results for easy reference for everyone to be able to follow easily what is going on. The blue color indicates that everything is fine. They say that is a clean audit. That means there is no qualification and there are no audit findings on other matters for that audit. The yellow color on the other side indicates that the audit report was not qualified, but there were other findings which were included also in the audit report. So that is not a clean audit, it's only an unqualified audit. And the red color indicates that there is a qualification or a disclaimer or an adverse opinion. So it is a qualified opinion. So if you look at the top, you'll see that the department for the year ended 11-12 had a qualified audit opinion. That's why I have this orange color for 11-12. So unqualified with other findings. That's why the color is orange or yellow. Whereas in the past 2 years, 10-11 and 9-11 and 9-10, the audit report was qualified. And in the year 8-09, it was also unqualified with other matters. So you see that there has been an improvement over the past 2 years for the department. For SASSA, South African Social Security Agency, you see that this year, 11-12, the color is green. That's the only green. That means that for the first time, SASSA in the last 4 years has achieved a clean audit. The previous year, it was qualified, and the previous year, it was actually a disclaimer. That was in the year 9-10. Whereas the previous year it was also unqualified. So you see that there has been a dramatic improvement for SASSA coming from a disclaimer in 9-10 to unqualified with other matters in 10-11 and to clean in 11-12. If you look at the rest of the entities, all these four entities are the funds, you see that they've had clean opinions all along up to year 10-11. And they've downgraded to qualified with other matters in the year 11-12. And if you look further down, this now gives a brief description or some reasons as to why the opinions above, what were the basis for qualifications, what were the matters on which the department was qualified, if it was qualified, and what were the other findings, where there were other findings. For the disclaimer areas, for example, that refers to SASSA when it was disclaimed in the year 9-10. It was disclaimed in 9-10, on the number of matters on which it was disclaimed, which are going to be described in later pages. And the qualification areas included transfers and subsidiaries, and also Department of Social Development. That means that the department was qualified because of the transfers that it has made in that share. And for other matters, the other matters related to the audit of predetermined objectives, and you see that the Department of Social Development had findings in other matters in year 10-11, whereas SASA had findings in other matters in both year 9-10 and year 10-11. And National Development Agency had findings in other matters in year 10-11 and also in the recent year 11-12. The other part of the other matters refers to compliance with laws and regulations. We also make findings on compliance with laws and regulations, including supply chain management, including PFMA and other applicable laws. And the findings there related to in 809, for the department, it was in 809, in 10-11, and also in 11-12. For SASA, it was in 809, 910, and 910. And for National Development Agency, it was in the 3 years, 809, 10-11, and 11-12. And for the funds, you can see that all of them, the findings relating to compliance with laws and regulations were made in the year 11-12. That is the summary of the history of the audit opinion. If you move to the next page, that colorful page gives us an indication of the focus areas. That is the areas where the audit focused, the areas that we consider to be very important when we do the audit based on the findings, the history of findings and the issues involved. You see that the first column talks to the matters relating to supply chain management. The next column, moving towards the right, talks to the matters findings relating to the predetermined objectives, that is performance information. The next column relates to the findings relating to HR, that is HR management issues, including vacancies, including issues on leave, etc. The next column relates to the IT findings. We do the audit also on the IT systems, and the findings are dealt with in that column. And then the next column relating to the errors that were found in the financial statements that were submitted to us for audit on the 31st of May. And then the last column that relates to what we refer to as financial health, which relates to issues like going concern, issues like funding, etc. So we have made some findings relating to those issues, and of course we've used the colors to indicate what was the nature of those findings. We have used the red color relating to material negative findings that we made. We used the orange or yellow color relating to the work in progress, some actions being put in place which have not yet been finalized. Improvements that are ongoing, but where the findings are still the same as in the previous year. And then we've used the green color to indicate a situation where things are going okay, where there are no negative findings, a clean audit situation. Again, if you look at the different entities, the first row relating to the department itself, you see that the as far as supply chain management, we have a red face or a red flag, which means that there were problems relating to supply chain management. There were findings which related to areas like supplies to suppliers who had not disclosed the required information, their past records, for example, or including like where the fraud had been found in the past, for example, including where, for example, the previous findings which might have excluded them from being considered for supply chain management, but those were not disclosed by those suppliers, and supplies were made against those suppliers. So there were findings relating to supply chain management. We'll go to the details also on the next page. And when you come to the second column relating to the predetermined objectives, you see that that is yellow. That means that there were still some findings relating to predetermined objectives. And also when it comes to HR management, you see that this is still yellow, which means there were still some findings on HR management, including vacancies, for example, at senior level that had not been filled at that point in time. On IT, you see that there were also some findings, which in the case of the department related, for example, to the absence of the governance structure, which is supposed to, which they were still waiting for DPSA to approve to give them the recommended structure so they could put in place, including other issues also on IT. And then when it comes to errors in the financial statement that was submitted, and also to the financial health, you see that those two are green, which means we were happy with the findings in those categories. For SASA, you see that the first four blocks are yellow. That relates to supply chain management, relates to predetermined objectives, HR and IT, which means we're not entirely satisfied. There was work in progress, but there were no serious findings at that point. And the next two, relating to the errors that were found and also the HR or financial health, that one, those were green, which means there were no negative findings. Coming down to NDA, you see that the first two, the ones relating to supply chain management, for example, is also red. Due to findings of uncompetitive practices, for example, relating to submitting of bids, for example, due to other findings, and also when it comes to predetermined objectives, there were some negative findings for NDA, some of which related to the reported performance indicators, which were not supported by the. And then you see that the next, the HR block is green, no findings on that one, and also on the IT government on the IT element, there were some findings, but there was work in progress as well, so that's why that one is in yellow. There were no serious findings. And then coming to the errors that were found in the annual financial statements, that block is red as well, which means that the financial data submitted had to undergo a lot of changes before they could come to the financial to the final financial statements. So a lot of changes had to be implemented, which were brought about by the audit. And then the last column is yellow, which means there were no serious findings, but there was still some work to be done in that area. And then when it comes to the funds, that is the last four column, the last four rows, we see that the first four columns are all green, which means that there were no findings on those four. And then the fifth column is red throughout. And the reason why this one is red is that the basis of preparation, the framework of preparation of the financial statement for the funds was the wrong one. In terms of the PFMA, they're supposed to use the right framework as prescribed by National Treasury. And the right framework as prescribed by National Treasury in this case should have been GRAB, that is generally recognized accounting practice, but they used GAAP, which is generally accepted accounting practice, which was not the prescribed framework, but then due to our discovering this during our audit, the financial statements that were actually published were then changed and reported on in terms of the correct framework, which is GAAP. But this is why this is red. And then the last column is it's all yellow, and that is due to also a number of changes that still had to be made. That is due to the fact that actually all these funds are in the process of being or being closed down because they have been dormant for a long time, and there has been a recommendation that they should be closed down, but it's taken a long time because they have to change the National Funding Act to be able to close them down. So that relates to the continued existence, the so-called going concern, because they could be closed any time. So that's why we indicate that as that yellow. We don't expect them to be in existence for a very long time. So that is basically the summary of the findings relating to the focus, to the six focus areas. As I said, the supply chain management, the predetermined objectives, that is the performance findings on performance information, the HR management, the IT controls, the errors found in the financial statements that are submitted to us, and also the financial health. Those are the six focus areas that we looked at during our audit and came up with these findings. That gives you the summary of our findings. I'll ask now my colleague Yaku to take us through the detailed findings in the following pages.
Thank you. I'm going to start on page 4. I'm going to start with the first key focus area, which is now the supply chain management area. Now, the first one we're going to look at is the department itself, Department of Social Development. Now, under supply chain management, there were two findings there, and that was reported on in the audit report. The first one was regarding the awards made to suppliers who did not make declarations with regards to past supply chain practices such as fraud, abuse and non-performance as prescribed in the practice note and the Treasury Regulation 16A91. Now, from the auditing, the root cause for this finding, we will find that there was a lack of oversight responsibility regarding the compliance of applicable laws and regulations and related controls. There was a lack of review and monitoring of compliance and applicable laws and regulations, and internal control deficiencies were not identified and communicated in a timely manner to allow for correction actions being taken by management. Now, from the auditor recommendation from the auditors is that management should ensure that winning bidders and suppliers complete and sign the declaration of the bidders, the past supply chain practices, which has been called the SBD8, and management should ensure that all internal controls and deficiencies are addressed. Then the second finding under the supply chain that was reported on in the audit report was awards made without declaration on whether the bidder is employed by the state or connected to any person employed by the state as required by the Treasury Regulation 16A8.4. The root cause for this was there was a lack of oversight responsibility regarding compliance with applicable laws and regulations, and there was a lack of review and monitoring of compliance with applicable laws and regulations, and internal control deficiencies were not identified and communicated in a timely manner to allow for correct action. The recommendation is that the management should ensure that the winning bidders and suppliers complete and sign, and in this case it's the SBD4 that needs to be done, and then management should ensure that all the control deficiencies are addressed. Then in the case of SASA, there was nothing specifically reported in regarding supply chain in the audit report itself. Then the next one regarding the National Development Agency. The first finding on the supply for the NDA, supply chain for the NDA, was that goods and services of a transaction value above 200,000 were procured without inviting competitive bids as required by Treasury regulations. The root cause for that was procurement of goods and services that are not made in accordance with the supply chain management regulations. And the recommendation is that the irregular expenditure should be disclosed in the financials as per the requirement of the PFMA, and all procurement must follow the NDA procurement policy and procedures. Those irregular expenditure was disclosed at the end in the financials of the NDA. Then if we move on to the next page, for the funds, Mr. Shonga early on indicated, they are dormant, so there is not any procurement taking place. So there's no findings there for the funds. Then the next focus area is the predetermined objectives that we reported on in the audit report. The specific standard paragraphs that we're reporting on. If we can first start with the Department of Social Development, there was two paragraphs in the audit report. The first one was the achievement of planned targets. Now, in the case of 46% of the total planned targets were not achieved during the year under review. This was mainly due to the fact that indicators and targets were not suitably developed during the strategic planning process. So from what they have, the target, they said that 46% of those targets were not achieved for the year. The root cause was there was a lack of review and monitoring of compliance of applicable laws and regulations. And then the recommendation was the target should be developed in order to adhere to the SMART criteria during the strategic planning process. And the SMART criteria is the criteria that's set by National Treasury, which means that the target should be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Then the second finding, or second paragraph in an audit report for the department was regarding material adjustments made to the report on predetermined objectives. This is now when they're submitting the predetermined, the performance report with the financial statements to the auditors to be audited. And then after we have audited, there were some material adjustments made to what the department have reported on in their performance report. And here specifically relating to program 4, where there was 29% adjustments made to the reporting on the predetermined objectives that was then corrected by management. The root cause for that was there was a lack of oversight responsibility regarding performance reporting and related internal controls, and there was a lack of procedures in place to enable and support understanding and execution of internal control objectives, and regular, accurate, and complete performance reports were not always prepared. Then the recommendation, the department must ensure the compliance of the National Treasury Framework, and the department must ensure outcomes of the performance targets are reported based on actual performance that can be substantiated with supporting evidence, and management should ensure that all internal deficiencies are addressed. If we move on to the next page, on page 6, then we can start with the South African Social Security Agency. There was two paragraphs in the audit report as well regarding the predetermined objectives. The first one is also relating to material misstatements or material adjustments to the report on predetermined objectives that was made by management after we have audited the predetermined objective information. In this case, there was 50% of the grant administration and 56% of the branch of finance, what they have reported on in their report, predetermined objectives were corrected by management. The root causes for that, we've listed there quite a couple of them, the reason for that, that management did not exercise oversight responsibility regarding performance reporting and compliance to the related controls. Management did not establish and communicate policies and procedures, Management did not implement proper record keeping in a timely manner to ensure the complete, relevant and accurate information is accessible and available. And this is now linked up to the fact that they, because of all the adjustments that they need to make, management did not implement controls over daily and monthly processing and reconciling of the control totals to use to calculate the total value of the achievements. Management did not prepare regular, accurate, complete performance reports that are supported by evidence and reliable information. Those charts of governance did not ensure that there is adequately resourced and functioning internal audit. And those charts of governance did not ensure that the audit committee promotes accountability and service delivery through the reviewing of the control environment. If we look at the recommendations, we say that management should exercise oversight regarding the responsibility of performance reporting and compliance to related controls, and management should establish and communicate policies and procedures to enable and support the understanding and execution of the internal control objectives and processes and responsibilities regarding the accurate and valid and complete performance information. And then management should implement proper record keeping, and then management should implement controls over daily and monthly processing and reconciling of control totals and to use to calculate the total value of achievement. And then management should prepare a regular, accurate and complete performance report that's supported with evidence by reliable evidence and information. And then management should review and monitor the controls in place to report on performance information. And then those charts of governance should ensure that there's adequately resourced and functioning internal audit unit that identifies internal control deficiencies and recommends corrective actions effectively. And then those charts of governance should ensure that the audit committee promotes accountability and service delivery through evaluating and monitoring responses to risks and providing oversight over the effectiveness of the internal control environment, including the performance reporting and compliance. Then the next paragraph on the predetermined objectives that was reported on for SASA was the achievement of planned targets. And there we found that from the 59 planned targets, 27 were not achieved, which resulted in a 46% of the total planned targets that were not achieved during the year under review. And this was mainly due to the fact that indicators and targets were not suitably developed during the strategic planning. The root causes here, management did not exercise oversight responsibility regarding the monitoring of performance achievements. Management did not implement proper record keeping in a timely manner. Management did not implement controls over daily and monthly processing in order to monitor progress against the set target. Management did not prepare regular, accurate and complete performance reports that supported and evidenced by reliable information. And then management does not review and monitor the controls in place to report on the performance information. The recommendations is where we say management should exercise oversight responsibility. Management should implement proper record keeping in a timely manner. And then management should implement controls over daily and monthly processing and reconciling of the control totals used to calculate the total value of achievement. And management should prepare regular, accurate and complete performance reports that are supported by evidence and reliable information. And then management should review and monitor the controls in place to report on the performance information. Then the next page, page 8, is now in regard to the National Development Agency, the NDA. There was actually 4 paragraphs reported on in the audit report for the NDA regarding the predetermined objective. The first one was regarding the reported performance information that's not valid. There was a 67% of the actual reported performance relevant to the respective selected objectives was not valid when compared to the source information and evidence provided for audited, to be audited. And this was due to the lack of standard operating procedures for the recording of actual achievements. Then the performance, the root cause for that was the performance objectives, indicators and targets are not appropriately approved by the relevant executive authority and supported by relevant supporting documents. And then the recommendation is that all targets should be approved and disclosed if the actual achievements should be supported by relevant supporting documentation. The next paragraph was that the reported performance were not accurate. There we also indicated that 67% of the actual reported indicators for the respective objectives were not accurate when compared to the source information provided for audit. This was also due to the lack of standard operating procedures for the recording of actual achievements. The root cause, as well as the recommendation, is the same for the previous paragraph. Then the next paragraph that was reported on in the audit report for NDA on page 9 was the source information supporting the actual performance was not complete. There again, 67% of the cases, the source information for the actual reported performance for the selected respective objectives were not completely recorded. That was due to proper document management system with regard to the actual performance achievements. The root cause was the performance objectives, indicators and targets are not appropriately approved by the relevant executive authority and supported by relevant supporting documentation. And all achievements, the recommendation will be that all achievements should be supported by relevant supporting documentation. In the last paragraph for the NDA that was reported on predetermined objectives was the achievement of planned targets that we reported on that in 51% of the planned targets that were not achieved during the year under review, and this was a result of the institution not considering relevant systems and individual requirements during the annual strategic planning process. Now the root cause for that was the approved targets are not appropriated and achievable and insufficient monitoring of the targets. And the recommendation was that management should ensure that processes are in place to achieve all targets. There's another paragraph for the NDA on the next page on page 10, was regarding the material adjustments also making to the annual performance report. Here we was reporting 150%. Amendments were made when corrected by management, that those that were not corrected are included in the conclusion paragraphs. The root cause for that was that management does not exercise adequate ongoing monitoring and oversight, and then all information should be adequately reviewed and monitored to ensure that no errors exist in the financial information. Then the next key focus area was regarding human resources. Now there was nothing specifically reporting for any of the department and the entities in the audit report relating to the human resources focus area. Although there was findings in the management report, but there's standardized paragraphs that specifically get reported on in the audit report that's standardized in the AG, but there was nothing from these entities that needs to be reported, or there was no findings that was need to be reported in the audit report. Then on the next page, page 11, this is the next key focus area is the information technology controls. The first finding there that was reported on the Department of Social Development was the department's continuity plan was not yet finally approved. And then the IT governance framework not yet approved awaiting the TPSA administration framework. The root cause was that the IMST management had still not approved the IT governance and control framework as they are awaiting TPA's guidance, and the recommendation is management should address all relevant IT risks and controls within the department. Now, although they are still awaiting for the guidance, it's still the responsibility of management to make sure that they address these risks and controls in the department in the meantime. The next finding was relating to security management. The responsibilities of the information security officer were not adequately implemented. The root cause was management did not appoint staff to assist the IT security officer in supporting the head of the institution by performing the required security responsibilities. And the recommendation was the information and communication ICT management should appoint staff in the information security unit to assist the IT security officer in performing his formally delegated responsibilities. Then the next area, apologies, the security management is relating to the SASA, the next entity. It's for the department, it's only the IT governance and then the department's continuity plan that was not yet finally approved. The security management finding is relating to SASA. The next finding under SASA was the user access control for the Oracle system they're using. That's their financial system they're using, that the user account management standards and procedures are not adequately designed. And then for BAS, the user account management standards and procedures not adequately designed and implemented. And then for the SOCPEN system, the user account management standards and procedures not adequately implemented. The root causes that we have there is the appropriated key controls, policies, and procedures were lacking. Then the appropriated key controls, the policies and procedures also lacking for the other two systems as well. Then the recommendations that we made is the user account management standards and procedures should be updated and formally approved by ICT management. Then periodic checks must be carried out to ensure that a user's current level of access is in line with their job responsibilities. The frequency of such review should also be specified in the user account management standard procedures. Then the regional manager should assign the task of the monitoring compliance of the user account management procedures manual to ensure adherence thereto. And then the security activity and access violence logs, as well as change requests, should be reviewed and followed up to allow timely detection of unauthorized access. And then regular independent review should be undertaken to confirm that all user ID maintenance activities performed by the SysCon and the group special users related to valid and approved user ID requests. And then an audit trail of the present actions taken should be maintained, and all reports should be kept as evidence of review. Then there was also under the SOCPEN system, there was weaknesses identified in access control privileges on the SOCPEN system. The root cause for that was the appropriate key controls, the policies and procedures were lacking. This could be attributed to the failure to assign the task of ensuring that a powerful access control privilege is correctly allocated to an appropriately skilled, competent staff member. Then the recommendation was there that the general manager should ensure that the users to whom access control privileges have been assigned are reviewed to ensure that these rights are commensurate with their job functions. And the number of accounts with privileged access should be kept to a minimum, and these accounts should only be used for access control functions. And then the users for access control privileges should all use a separate account for normal day-to-day duties. Then the next finding under the IT environment for SASA was program change management. Under SOCPEN, program change management controls not adequately designed and implemented. This was due to the lack of appropriate key controls, policies and procedures. Users did not comply with the approved change control procedure manual, and appropriate key controls, policy procedures were lacking. Then the recommendation is that ICT management should ensure compliance with the standards. ICT management should ensure that the change control board is actively involved in managing and monitoring and prioritizing all changes. And then the ICT management should establish a formal process to ensure that the back migration event authorization list reports are regularly reviewed by comparing them to the approved chain request by allocating the responsibility for monitoring to an approved trained independent staff member. And the next finding for SASA, the last one then there, was the information technology continuity and disaster recovery. Information technology service continuity not adequately addressed. The root cause for that was the lack of management oversight to test the DRP, the disaster recovery plan. And the recommendation is that DRP test should be undertaken and a DRP coordination team is identified who maintain the results and reports for the DRP tests. Then regard the next entity for the National Development Agency, the NDA. There was two findings. There was no formal document and approved user account management process to managing the use of the various application systems. And the next one was the NDA does not have a documented IT governance framework that supports and enables the business deliverables, values, and improved performance. The root cause is the lack of capacity to develop a user account management policies, and management did not implement an IT governance framework to enable the IT environment to adequately address business risks. Then the recommendations, there's the comprehensive user account management procedures are followed, and the NDA should design an IT governance framework. Then for the funds, there was nothing being reported on the information technology. Then page 14, regarding material omissions and errors in the financial statements, there was only for the reported on for the NDA, where there was material adjustments made to the financial statements. That was reported on in the audit report, and then also for the four funds, as my colleague Mr. Slonga earlier indicated, regarding there was incorrectly their financials was compiled on the incorrect financial reporting framework, which resulted in the non-compliance of the PFMA. The root cause is for all of them is the same for the due to lack of oversight over the financial reporting, and then the recommendation is that management should ensure that the financials are prepared on the CRAF framework. On the next page, page 15, financial health status, there was only one issue that raised there under the NDA, where we'll find that various creditors are not paid within 50 days. This is the root cause for that is the appropriate level of management does not regularly review interim and monthly reporting in terms of the best practice. And then the recommendation is the NDA should ensure payments made within 50 days. The next page is dealing with other compliance matters that was reported on in the audit report. For social development, there was a paragraph on expenditure management where management do not take appropriate disciplinary steps against staff who made or permitted irregular expenditure. The root cause is a lack of oversight responsibility and a lack of review and monitoring. And then the recommendation is proper process should be implemented and cases related to prior year possible irregular expenditure should be finalized as a matter of urgency and appropriate and effective steps should be taken against staff. And the next matter that was reported on was the transfer of funds. This is regarding the social assistance grants that were paid to beneficiaries that did not always comply with the requirements of the Social Assistance Act. This was now regarding in the case where files were incomplete and did not have the required documentation for grants paid, for example, medical certificates, IDs, and war certificates. The root causes there was skilled and continuous supervision is not provided, management did not exercise oversight responsibility, and management did not implement effective HR management to ensure adequate and sufficiently skilled resources are in place. And the recommendation is that all staff who override or ignore internal controls, which is non-compliance with approved policies, should be investigated and disciplined. And then as a compensating control, management should implement this cycle reviewed of beneficiaries, which not only include life certificates and contact details update, but also means information update and collating of required information. Then the next entity was the NDA, where we're reporting on also on expenditure management for other compliance. The accounting authority did not take effective steps to prevent irregular expenditure as required by Section 51(1)(d) of the PFMA. There was quite a couple of irregular expenditure reported on. This was due to a lack of review and monitoring. of compliance and laws and regulations, and then recommendation is that proper process should be implemented to ensure possible irregular expenditure is investigated and it was identified. For the funds and for SASSA, there was nothing been reported on. Then the next page, on page 18, paragraph 4, is just commitments by the executive. There was an engagement on the 31st of July 2012 where the minister made a commitment towards clean administration achievement of action plans. Paragraph 5, which just gave indication of unauthorized expenditure, there was no unauthorized expenditure identified or reported on for the 2012 year. The only one where there's unauthorized expenditure is for the department, but that's relating to prior years before 2011. That's still in the financial statements. There was no new unauthorized expenditure being identified. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Regarding social development, there was improvement on fruitless and wasteful. For the 2012 financial year, there was none being identified. For SASSA, there was a regression because there were 209,571 rand was identified as fruitless, and for the NDA, there was also a regression of 373,087 rand of fruitless and wasteful expenditure being identified and reported on. In the next page, page 19, for the funds, there was no fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Page 19, the irregular expenditure. For Department of Social Development, there was a regression from 1.3 million to 19 million for the 2012 financial year. For SASSA, also a regression from 1.5 million to 2.4 million. And for the NDA, also a regression from 2.5 million to 9.4 million for the 2012 financial year. For the funds, there was no irregular expenditure being identified. In paragraph 6, other AG reports, there was no investigation, specific investigations that are currently underway or undertaken by the AGSA. And regarding performance audits, there was also no performance audits were conducted for the year under review. Except for for the year under review, the performance audit was conducted on the readiness of the government to report on its performance. This audit is currently in the reporting phase, and the findings are reported on in a separate report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank both of you for the presentation. Without wasting time, I'm going to give this time to the members of Parliament to make their comments, questions, or if there are any clarities. I'll now give members of Parliament to ask questions.
Thank you very much for the presentation. If we can just ask some general questions, you obviously did this last year. I was on the committee last year. The same report. Did you go and look at the report from last year and the recommendations and see how many action steps the department actually fulfilled? Because, I mean, there's one thing doing a report, but, I mean, do you go back and see if they've actually done what you've requested? And if so, can you give us some indication of how well they did? And also, as far as the entities are concerned, you've left the Central Drug Authority out. Why is that from the department?
The best thing is to take all the questions and then we will respond after all the questions. Thank you very much.
Then as far as the South African Security, Social Security Agency is concerned, I mean, there's been a lot of talk in the paper about fraud within the system. And I was just wondering if you picked any of that up because you've given them a clean audit, which is fantastic. I mean, it's lovely to see. But the fact is, there's a lot of articles in the paper about staff not being vetted and people receiving grants that shouldn't be. And in fact, you allude to that you mentioned it on page 16, social assistance grants were paid to beneficiaries that did not always comply with the requirements of the Act. So, I mean, given the fact that you have staff that aren't vetted, and that people are obviously bypassing the system and awarding benefits to people that shouldn't be getting it, how did they get a clean audit? And also on page 16, the transfer of funds. I mean, I understand the Department of Social Development is the mother department, and SARS is only an entity. But you've, on page 16, you've put the payments of beneficiaries under the department, not SARSA, with SARSA's responsibility. Can you give some indication as to why that is? And then also, I know it's in court, so I know you can't talk on the principles of the contract, but SARSA awarded in February or January a 10 billion rand contract for the payment of grants. And there's a lot of talk about the bid evaluation committee not being constituted properly, needing 5 people and only had 4, and they didn't have the necessary skills, etc. I mean, I can go on. But did you not look at that contract as well? Or did it, was that not part of the scope? I mean, it's a huge contract, and there's a lot of clouds around the contract, if you can put it mildly. And then I've just got not many more to go to. And I think page 12, I've made a note here.
We'll come back for the second round.
Yeah, now I've talked about the scoping thing with the fraud and 16. Yeah. Just the last one, on the last very last page, about fruitless expenditure check.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been dramatic increases in 3 of the 2 entities in 1 department. Can you give us some idea of what irregular expenditure is, for example? Just so we've got an idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. I think most of the concerns have been addressed, and I was also concerned about the issue, particularly with the issue of the aspect of the club aspect that was omitted, but I think you've covered that. You know, Chair, recently ago, I visited the South African police station, you know, in my constituency to have an affidavit signed. And I've seen a huge influx of people. And I wanted to get inquisitive, and I asked the officer in charge, what are all these people doing here, you know, and why are there no seating arrangements and things? So the officer responded and said, you know, government is doing something correct, is that all these people who have come here now, they have come to find the affidavits that they were collecting fraudulent grants. And, you know, you could see that something was getting done, and it gave us a good sense of satisfaction. I see that has been covered in the report with regards to that, and then also the biometric aspect has been left out of that, you know, to deal with those issues. These funds that would now not be paid to these, ghost beneficiaries, it will have some impact in terms of the transfers that we were referring to, and also indeed with regards to the budgets. And I see concerns have been raised about the issue of the proper programs. As you know, the previous speaker indicated, what are we measuring against? Because this was determined in the past financial year. And obviously we cannot analyze something that is not speaking to the correct policy that we wanted to speak to now. I see the issue of accountability, and particularly to managers. Is there any proper policies? Are they adhering to policies, the regulations? And quite often we say that in the report that managers should be held accountable. What can we, you know, what can be done in terms of dealing with these issues from the ground level, from people right from the ground level? You know, we're identifying the problems, but not much has been done with regard to that. In terms of compliance tests, you know, Chair, I don't know why we have to wait for the Auditor General's report in order to evaluate that these are the problems. Why don't we detect these kind of things in terms of the strategic planning and in terms of rectifying these things in terms of targets, etc. I was actually also concerned about the fruitless and wasteful. That boils down to us as to whether we are getting value for money. Once again, quality of service, quality of goods, managers need to be accountable again. Chair, I want to leave it there for now. The supply chain management and, you know, the issue of the fraud and abuse. I'm concerned about the recuperation of that kind of money in terms of the PFMA, as you illustrated in terms of the accounting processes. What happens to these kind of money and the transfers? How do you align that in terms of the processes? Chair, I'll leave it for there now. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. On page 2, right on top there, you have under Department of Social Development, yellow followed by 2 red, and then followed by yellow. And then the bottom one, next to that one, is yellow, red, yellow, and blue. Now I'm just thinking, what would you really attribute, if for example, the yellow now turns into red in the top one, in the following year, because now this is up to year 12. Now, if in year 13, let's say the following year, the yellow turns into red, and then the blue turns into yellow, which in my case, if I understand the way you deal with this, shows there is no progress. And you have made recommendations, and I see in each case where you see mistakes, you make some recommendations that should be followed to correct the mistakes. And one would understand if there is no progress and maybe the staff has changed, you have put new people in the department, but if it is still the same people, generally speaking, how do you deal with this? After we have made recommendations and these very people that you dealt with are not making any improvement. And then another one is just, it's not actually really for you, it's just a comment. I wouldn't really want an answer to that one because it doesn't come out of this, but I feel I should cough it out. Where you have cases where the elderly, especially our illiterate elderly, will receive money and counted by somebody or an official to the recipient, but some of the notes are folded. I hope you understand what I'm explaining. If it is the buffaloes, because they now call them buffaloes, if it is the buffaloes, maybe 3 buffaloes have been folded. So that when you count one buffalo twice. And the old lady or the old man believes that he received the correct amount. It is only when he pays, you know, out his things that he realizes that he's running short of some buffaloes and already he has left the pay for it. It's just a comment which I'm just saying it's not really for you, but it's something that we should also really report on, you know, and address. Thank you very much.
I'm glad that that you say it's not for them, because some questions are not for them really. They are for the SASA and social development.
Yes.
Thank you very much. I will now call Honorable Kumalo and followed by Honorable Mufolo.
Caused by a convent when I was looking at root cause, especially on all the matters, I mean, under a social development, which is the lead and of all the entities, to say you commonly see the lack of capacity management, did not do the oversight responsibility in almost everything. This I'm saying to the committee person because one has recently joined the committee. We were not sure whether this has been came up once, and if it did, when it is expected to be corrected, and if, as Honorable Khanyaho has said, that if we are going to have same, I mean, problems with the same people, what measures are in place, I mean, for correcting the situation. Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Let me thank the AG's office and welcome the report that they have given to us. Mine is just that if my memory serves well, last year social development received a qualified report due to SASA's problem. This year SASA is receiving unqualified clean audit, and social development received again qualified report. I don't understand what is happening there, because the reason for social development to receive a qualified last day, it was because of social problem due to those things that they have alluded out to us now. Now why SASA remains clean this time and social development again? I don't understand that.
Yeah.
It's really confusing me. Thank you. Thank you very much, members. Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've made an observation that the department, together with its entities, normally they don't use the recommended document by the AG. For instance, at the beginning, we indicated that they are using GRAP instead of using the recommended document. And as you continue, when you check at the financial statements, they are not submitting according to the way it is required. What's the cause of this? You have indicated this side, but what I want to find out is that does the AG give them the correct documents and emphasize the use of that document? And why are they deviating if they have been given the correct documents to be followed? Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. I'm now going to give the Office of AG to respond, but I want to follow to repeat your question. It's like it's something that you did not understand. Can you repeat your question?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, because I want to say it's like the department also, they get the clean audit, but you say the audit is not clean. Why is it not clean? Because SASA, because of not clean audit last year, was SASA. But now SASA has a clean audit. So I want you to clarify that. Or let me give it to AG. Maybe they will. Yeah.
Honorable Chairperson, I can just respond to that. In the meantime, maybe the member, there's a misunderstanding because the department didn't get a qualified audit opinion. They got an unqualified audit opinion now this year for 11-12. If you look at page 2, you will see there at the top for 11-12, it is a yellow, it's highlighted in yellow, which if you look at the legend at the bottom, it says unqualified with findings on PDO and compliance. So it's not a qualified opinion for social development. Because in the past, in the previous 2 years, the department did get a qualified opinion for 10-11 and 9-10. And that was due to the fact of the grants, the findings that we had on the payment of the grants, that there was certain limitations on the grant payments. but for 11-12, the department didn't get a qualified opinion, they got an unqualified opinion.
All these findings.
Yeah, with findings on compliance and predetermined objectives, but the audit opinion was unqualified.
Yeah.
or is there another entity that it is believed should be reported under this portfolio? Because that is our understanding, the entities that we have listed here, the ones that fall under the Department of Social Development. Maybe I need clarity on that one.
No, I don't know whether you want to say something, but I do know that the Central Drug Authority is under social.
Maybe I can just say that we will follow that one up. But if by any chance the member was referring to the drug free sport,
no.
Well, it's not that one, that one's from another sport. Yeah. We just have to find out what is happening on that one. I would presume that it's been reported maybe elsewhere, but we're not reporting under the sport portfolio. But we'll follow that one up. Okay, we'll follow that one up. The other question related to the press reports that are constantly coming up in the press, yet we are able to issue clean audits from our side. SAFA did get a clean audit. We report in terms of the Constitution, in terms of PFMA, and in terms of the Public Audit Act on the financial management of the enterprises that we are auditing, be it a department or a department or an entity. We also report on compliance with laws and regulations, and we also report on the predetermined objectives, that is the performance audit. Our findings as far as those were concerned were not material. That is why these two entities are unqualified. There will of course be press reports now and again regarding this and that, but we audit based on the financials as are given to us, and if we do not find material matters to report upon, I mean the press will report anything that comes to, you know, to its notice, you know, and we do also follow what you see in the newspaper. We don't just ignore it, you know, but we report based on the materiality of the findings in those areas that we report upon. The other question related to the court case that has just been taken place recently. In our audit report, we have raised the emphasis of matter, which also does refer to the litigation that the department is currently undergoing or is currently facing. And after the judgment that came out from that case, we did actually go back to relook at our procedures to make sure that we have not omitted anything that we should have looked at, and we are still we're still happy with our report. We are not legal experts. We don't try to look at the legal intricacies, you know, as the court would look at. That case, as I understand, is still on appeal, and it could turn either way, you know. So our audit procedures are not going to go up and down based on the judgment. We just need to look at those focus areas that we need to look at in terms of our audit, and satisfy ourselves that there are no material findings as far as what we need to look at is concerned. Maybe Yaku could add also on that one.
Yes, I can. Just as my colleague has mentioned, that I mean, from our audit procedures that we have executed, we didn't pick up any significant material non-compliance areas. We, as indicated, I mean, we not based our audit on the judgment given by the court. We have to find based our audit and on our audit that we are doing. And early on, the honourable member was asking also if that specific tender process was included in our audit. It was included in our audit. So we had a look at it. We have found sufficient audit evidence for all the processes throughout the supply chain processes that was being followed. So therefore, But as my colleague also mentioned, we have reported on the in the audit report as well regarding the spending litigation, where there's an emphasis paragraph included in there where we refer to the specific case, and we've indicated at the time of reporting the possible non-compliance that might flow from this is still unknown at this stage.
And then continue the other question related to the fruitless expenditure. The member is concerned about the increases, and the question is, what is irregular expenditure? The irregular expenditure, as far as we know, is the expenditure that is not in line with the prescribed laws and regulations. Where, for example, the PFMA was not followed, or the policies of the department itself were not followed in making a certain kind of expenditure. Maybe Yaku wants to add on that.
I can just add on that regarding the irregular expenditure for SASA and for the NDA as well as for social development. The majority of that is constituted due to the fact that the supply chain process was not followed throughout. That's now in the case where they're supposed to go out on inviting bids or where sufficient quotations were not obtained for suppliers. There was instances where there's a requirement from National Treasury when bids are being awarded that it must be advertised in the state tender bulletin. That didn't take place as well. That also resulted in an irregular expenditure. But the main contribution to the irregular expenditure was the procurement and contract management, that the processes were not always followed, which then resulted into the irregular expenditure. In the case of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, for NDA, there's a 373,000. That was mainly contributed to the fact that because of late payments to SARS on that they have been resulted in paying them penalties and interest. In the case of SASA, the 209,000, the majority of that amount was for an exhibition stand that they was paid for, but that was not used at the end of the day. There was a few instances of flights that was not being used or accommodation that was not being used that was booked that resulted in fruitless and wasteful expenditure.
If I can continue, the other question was about the findings on predetermined objectives or on performance information. The Honourable Member was worried about what can be done before the AG comes with the report. And also, what are these programs being measured against? In trying to respond to that one, there is a framework from the National Treasury which prescribes how the performance information should be reported on. That is also published in the National Treasury's website. So I would advise members maybe to get hold of that framework from the National Treasury's website, so as to be familiar with it and also to be able to interrogate the department when it comes here. I believe the members do get quarterly reports when the department does come to report, and it would be useful to always measure that against that recommendation, that framework from National Treasury, so that by the time we come with our report, when most of the chances to make any way to do anything about it, so that everyone is familiar with that. But we do measure the programs, we do our audits also based on applicable legislation and also on the framework as prescribed by the National Treasury. You know, as we said, the National Treasury is the regulator. All we do as auditors is to make sure that framework prescribed has been complied with. Yes. So the members, that's one of the areas that they can help by getting familiar with that kind of framework and also applicable legislation, so that they can be able to interrogate the department when it does come here. The other question related to the
the recommendations that we do make recommendations year after year, and then if there is no improvement, what do we do, or what can we do? Ours as auditors is to audit and report, and our mandate only allows us to audit and to report. We have recently tried to escalate our reporting as far as possible, you know, to all the oversight bodies, including this committee, for example. Under the leadership of our auditor, General Terence Mbembe, there has been increased communication, you know, with all stakeholders. The AG himself, like yesterday, for example, he was presenting the overall outcomes report, you know, to the National Assembly, in an effort to make sure that everyone gets involved in this process of trying to get improvements, you know, in the way that the departments are run, in order to try to ensure clean administration, and also to ensure that there is proper reporting, so that the policy makers and the decision makers can have credible information that they can base their decisions on. Because all that we do as auditors is to make sure that the information that you receive in the form of the annual report, the financial statements, and all other reports that are submitted to you is reliable, so that you can make proper decisions. It's not for us to be a referee and a player. We only report as auditors, and then we leave it up to the other structures that are meant to do so, to make sure that there is proper implementation of the what is required to be implemented by the department.
Can maybe just add to, we also, regarding the Honourable Member's question on the action plans of the department and the entities, we do follow up on those ones. It's part of the audit process as well, that on prior year findings that we do look at, and then as my colleague has mentioned, that in the cases where those have been not addressed, it's been reported on again. We also have interactions with the department and the entities regarding what we call our dashboard report. We focused on the three areas: leadership, financial and performance management, and then governance, where we're giving them feedback on how do they performing regarding addressing those three areas, which also now have detailed on each one of those areas, which is the key controls that must be in place under those three areas, because from our side, we believe if those are in place, it will result in an unqualified audit opinion.
Chair, if I can also carry on, maybe just to carry on that one further, there was a further question which says, what are the corrective measures when we do find that something has gone wrong? Of course, we report to the relevant authority. For example, some resources have not been used for what they were supposed to be used for, and then it's for the entity itself, or the department itself, you know, to make sure that they recover those resources. It's report to the relevant authority to make sure that they are aware of what we have come up with. The other question related to the case of, for example, the elderly, where there are some notes that have been folded and maybe have not found their way to where they were supposed to have been. that is really the agenda of concern.
That is the agenda of concern. He's gone.
That would really be a matter of concern. If we were to come across that case, of course, we would report it. But as far as I know, we have not come across that case as yet in our audit. But that is part of what we would research as well. I'm not sure if there are other questions that are asked. Yeah,
it looks like you've answered all the questions. Oh, the question raised by Honorable Waters, I think it's something Honorable Waters will need to follow up around control drug authorities, because 2 years ago when each department came here to report, they did not report it as an entity. They spoke about under sub-directorate. So I think there's that grey area that we need to follow up to each department or to the minister. But I think that's why there is this confusion around control drug authority. Central drug authority. Yeah. So we'll make a follow up. But I do want to thank you, Mr. Kaoma and Mr. Mekis, for your time. Thank you very much. We will now continue with our program. We wish you well with all the work that you do for us, for South Africa. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members.
Members, stretch your legs for 5 minutes and then the minutes are not long. They're just four, but not very. They're short. We'll take about an hour. We'll be done. 10 minutes. I think we'll be done within 10 minutes. It will be less than an hour.
Do we have a quorum to adopt the minutes?
I'm going to check that. Thank you very much. The program will start on the Wednesday, 10th October 2012. We'll be looking at that. Yes. Can you start, Secretary?
Okay, sorry, thank you, members. The program starts from today. We were supposed to have all the departments for the annual reports. But the department will only appear before us next week on Wednesday. Because the chairperson was ill and the department had another commitment. So it was agreed that we can just move them to Wednesday next week. Next week, today is the briefing by AG and the adoption of the fourth term program and the adoption of outstanding minutes. And then we move on to next week, the 17th of October, which is Wednesday, we will consider the annual report of the department, and then the same week on Friday, and adoption of the BRRR report. Can I explain as to why do we have to meet even on Friday? I know it's not advisable for members. They don't like to meet on Fridays. We are at the BRRR priority, the budgetary review, and recommendations report where committees evaluate or assess the performance of the departments. So there is a deadline of the 19th of October for all committees to adopt their reports in preparation for the MTDPS, so that if there are any recommendations can be included on that period. So that's why we will be meeting on that on Friday, because of the deadline. The 23rd of October, we will be meeting with the SASA to consider the annual report. We also have a briefing from them on the re-registration of social grants. I think it's a long outstanding agenda item. We couldn't during our oversight in KZN. And then the 30th of October, they will call the NDA, National Development Agency, to brief us on their annual report for the current year. We also invite the Central Drug Authority to present to us on their
2010-2011 as the event table for the current year annual report. And then on the 6th of November, we'll have a briefing from Love Life on the annual report, as well as we will have a deliberation and probably the adoption of the draft committee report on the oversight visit to KZN. And then we'll proceed to the 13th of November. We'll have a briefing by the Department of Social Development on the implementation of the Older Persons Act, Act 13 of 2006. Mm-hmm. We move the 20th of November. We'll receive a briefing from the Department of Social Development on the uniform norm and standards of forced subsidization of children in early childhood development centers. 27th to 30th of November, we will undertake an oversight visit to the Western Cape Rehabilitation Center, Childhood Household SASA Payment Points and NDA projects. I think the focus will be in George and Poland. And then the 3rd on the 7th of December, there will be a training on the evidence-based social policy, the part 2 on this course. So we'll conclude the year by having this training. That's all for the program.
Thank you very much, Kim. The program is very clear to everyone. I don't know if there are any questions. Councilor Fortune.
Thanks, Jack. Chair, notice that came up last week or the week before. We said we're going to meet Tuesday and Wednesday next week, right? So why can't we meet for the BIR report on Tuesday? Why must it be a Friday? I'm busy already. Mm-hmm. I can't. I can give my apologies right now for the meeting.
Okay.
I've got stuff on in my constituency. Yeah? Why can't you meet on the Tuesday? Or the Wednesday, even, or the Thursday? I mean, I don't know why it has to be a Friday. And it's the last day as well. What I think if we haven't seen the report yet. Have we got a copy of it yet? So, I mean, wouldn't members want to give input into it? Isn't that how it works? Or the British report? You know what I'm saying? Maybe you want to give input, so maybe you want to see it before the Friday, which is the last day. And then just one last thing, Chair. I would suggest we meet on the Tuesday if we can. But one last thing, just on the CDA, and I know, it seems to be becoming a pet project of mine at the moment. But, you know, as Lindy rightfully said, we're dealing with the 2010-11 annual report. They haven't even submitted the 2011-12 annual report yet.
No.
It's a disgrace.
No.
I mean, according to the rules of Parliament and the PFMA, whatever it is, they're supposed to have submitted it. There was a deadline. We need to hold them to account on that. I mean, they must still report on this report because they actually haven't been held accountable for it yet.
Yeah.
But we need to be very firm with them about where their current report is. Thank you, Jen.
No, I do agree with you. Tomorrow special on Friday, if there's a chance to, for Tuesday, we can have a meeting on Tuesday rather than Friday to accommodate members.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. For the first time, I agree with my daughter. Chairperson, Lindy, can you put time there? Because there's no time on the B-R-R.
Page 2.
Yeah, page 2 on
B-R-R. Okay. On the 19th of October. Okay.
We will inform us about the changes on the Friday and Tuesday one. Yeah, we can be informed to it. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I will follow. Ola, you want to ask?
No, I'm covered, thanks.
Okay. I move for adoption of the program. Just to
change it. Before
the Friday, the 19th, the all number that has been spoken about. Are we adopting the program with the change, with the amendment on the Friday, or are we going to wait for the secretary to have the possibility of exchanging the date and time?
Okay.
Because I suppose we cannot just adopt with this 19, because we'll be saying we are going to sit on 9 while there is this suggestion, unless we are saying we live in the suggestion of saying let us look at another date.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we adopt with amendments, with the hoping that Lindy will inform us about the dates? But that's my view. I don't know if you agree with me on the numbers. It can be a problem too, because we all don't want to be here on Friday. So, yes, let us adopt it, because it's going to be a problem if we don't adopt it. We'll then have to come back and adopt the program. So let's adopt it with the amendment. Do we agree that we adopt with the amendment? Can I get a seconder?
No.
Thank you very much. It's seconded. Thank you very much. Let's now go to the minutes. We have minutes on the 24th of April, 12th of June, 24th of July, 11th September, and then at peak, we'll won't take time. I'll deal with the first page of the 24th of April. The first page deals with members that were present on that day. And the agenda was adopted, opening was done. There was an apology from Mr. Schwerte. The chairperson table, the draft committee report on the strategic plan, the budget vote of the department and its entities. I'm not going to read all of these members because it seems to be like reading everything. But I do want to say, if members can look at page 2 and see if there are any. The first one is the 24th April. Yes. Adoption of minutes. I'm on page 2 of the members. But I do want to say, I don't think it's advisable to read well, who said what and when. But if members have anything that they'd like to raise on page 2, let's look at that. no hands. Page 3, page 4. Very good members. I don't see your hands. Thank you very much. My Honourable Makakula?
I move for the adoption, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Makakula. Is there any seconder? My follow, seconder? Thank you very much. We now on the 25th July, the minutes of the 25th July. The first page is dealing with people that were present on that day. Apologies, there were Honorable Makakula, Honorable Masilo, Honorable Chwede, Honorable Kenya, Honorable Kume. It seems there were many apologies that day. But, yes, I hear people quoted. We now go to page 2. It was dealing with, I'm looking at number 3 of page 2. It was dealing with appointment of candidates to serve on the Central Drug Authority Board. I think myself and Honorable Waters were part of the panel. So, yes. Yeah, okay. The minutes are adopted, even if, yeah. They are seconded also by Honorable Mafula, Honorable Waters. Thank you very much, Honorable Mafula. This is very quick. We are now on the last one, which is on the 11th of September. Page 1 is dealing with all the people that are present on that day. It seems Mr. Chwede was almost upset in all this.
And at the table,
apologies for the treasure of Makuba and of more who were not present on that day. And these are the names of the people that were present from the officials. From the department. This was dealing with presentation on the regulations of the prevention of and treatment of substance abuse. I was not present, but I do know, I read the reports around this. Deliberations were made by the members, page 2. We go to page 3. There are also responses by department, I should think, on the questions made by the honorable members. And then the last one, I'm going to read the resolutions that came up from the members of parliament. The first one is saying the department should provide the committee with a report of the implementation plan of the prevention of and treatment for Substance Abuse Act. Number 2 says the department should provide the committee with a report containing the costing of the prevention of and treatment for Substance Abuse Act, as well as a report on oversight visit conducted at early childhood development centers and old age homes around the country. The last resolution is talks about committee emphasized that the department should put more focus on the aftercare and reintegration services. I'd like to see hands from the other members to adopt and support those that are present on that day. Could they assist us by adopting the report? Kumana? Thank you for the correction. Any second? Thank you very much, honorable members. I want to look at the agenda. It looks like we are done with the minutes. Thank you very much, all the members. The meeting is adjourned.
Yes, I'm welcome.